T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Yep. Let's go to the phone lines on the hotline, of course. Our Odyssey insider, Michael Irvin, is joining us. And Michael, Pete, and Chris here in D.C., we appreciate a few minutes today. How are you, sir?
Man, I'm doing well, man. How are you guys doing over there?
Great, Mr. Hall of Famer. Thank you.
Doing spectacular, 88. Doing spectacular. Or 47, for those of us that remember when you were a Cane. Michael, you were in as high profile a locker room as there could be in professional sports, based on the teams you play with. I'll go all the way back to when you were with Miami. You guys were a high profile team, even back then. When someone or a coach did something that was uncomfortable to everyone, how do players, especially the professional at the professional level, how did you all deal with that and move on? Especially if someone made you kind of uncomfortable with the way they behaved, or maybe something that they said.
Well, what do you mean by with the way they behave, or something that they say? Now, sometimes what makes you people uncomfortable away from the field don't necessarily make you uncomfortable on the football field. So it's such you lead me without a direction, such a wide
all right.
spectrum.
Let me
know what I'm saying.
Yeah. Okay. Specifically, Jack Del Rio here in D.C., the defensive coordinator.
Right.
Made some uncomfortable comments today, essentially calling what happened at the Capitol a dust-up on January the 6th, and pointed out to why aren't we giving it the same attention when people were looting and stealing, when we had those that were trying to bring, you know, social, you know, justice to the forefront, when we had the George Floyd situation that was going on, and people were trying to get some answers as to, you know, what happened then and understand their frustrations. So if a coach does something that you're directly with, like the defensive players on this team that, you know, they depend on playing with him and what he asks them to do, they're going to have to follow his lead come August and September. Does that make professional players uncomfortable?
And it's just so apropos that I'm on this other side and on the line talking with you. And because I haven't heard the comments that Jack Del Rio made, you know, so that's why I wanted you to direct me in that direction, because there's so many things. You know, some guys saying, you know, when you're talking about where a guy plays and everybody's saying, well, he's trying to show somebody up. And in the locker room, we may just see that as a way that he does to raise himself up. You know, it's not that he's trying to make you look bad. It's just how he hypes himself up. And I understand that, so I don't have a problem with that. When on the outside, people say, oh, he's a showboat. So those kinds of things can get misconstrued one way outside the locker room, another way inside the locker room. Let me go back to tell you why I think this is apropos that I'm on the phone talking with you, and we're discussing the Jack Del Rio comments that I have not heard yet. So let me preface that I have not heard yet. I want to say that one more time. I have not heard yet. But I will say this. These kinds of things you have to be careful with when you're talking, because the roots of them go so deep. We always talk about a football team, and I always say football teams and football organizations will never win a championship. And this is true. This is true. Only football families win championships. This almost cursed. This is too hard. Trust me. This game here is too hard to think that you can go and win a championship without everybody being on the same page. You may be able to pull that off in basketball. You may be able to pull that off in hockey. You may be able to pull that off in baseball, because each one of those sports have individual isolated successes. You can stand at a plate and slap a home run all by yourself. That's individual isolated success. You can take a ball off one rim and go dunk it on the other all by yourself. That's individual isolated success. You can take a hockey puck, run all the way down and then slap that puck in on and score all by yourself. That's isolated. You can't have isolated success on a football field. You can't do nothing all by yourself. Incidentally, it's just like life and business, everything. You can't do anything all by yourself. That's why we love football so much. So absolutely, these kinds of things can affect the situation. So you have to stake them carefully because you need a football family to win a championship. Why do I say it's good that you're talking to me? Because you can tell me some things. I'll have to hear Jack say them. But I sat in the locker room with Jack Del Rio. I sat side by side. I battled with Jack. I know him very well. And what we do now is when people are not on our side or see things exactly our way, we want to always start turning and say, oh, he must be racist. It must be that. Again, I haven't heard what Jack said. Mm-hmm. But it'd be hard for you. It'd be hard for you to convince me that the man that I sat with, battled with, and that was my family, and Jack Del Rio, has any of that in him. That's all I'm going to say on that, because I want to hear what he said. So if I know it, and I sat with him, and in that locker room, I know it, I'm sure those guys that he's around every day knows it, and I'm sure if this goes where it needs to go, Jack will see the error of his ways and correct him. But when you search your spirit, I'm not even worried about what you will see.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Odyssey NFL insider Michael Irvin, Pro Football Hall of Famer, joining Russell Medhurst here on the Team 980 in Washington, D.C. Insider calls are presented by BetQL. Get access to data and insights the sportsbooks don't want you to see. Bet smarter. Beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. I'm glad you brought that up, Michael. I don't know Jack as well as you do, but I don't get the sense just in covering him, and it's been harder, as you know, with the pandemic and all the different restrictions and rules, I don't get the sense that he's a bad guy. He may have said the wrong thing. It may not have come out right, what have you. Here's my question.
If he called what happened at the Capitol dust up, that definitely didn't come out right.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
absolutely.
Ain't no talking around that. Ain't no getting around it. And what I'm, and to be honest with you, especially when if it was a dust up of a bunch of black people, we'd have had a massacre. It would have been a massacre. And that's just what most black people said. That would have been a whole bunch of black people storming the Capitol that day. It would have been a massacre. It would have been a whole lot of bodies laid out across the street. So you certainly can't call it that. And I think we start extrapolating, oh, he's saying that, he must be with Trump. So he must be with Trump, must be Ray. You see where I'm going with all of that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no doubt. I totally understand and totally respect that point of view. And trust me, that quote right
there. But
that
was not a dust up, buddy.
No.
You got to give a stronger language for that. You got to come up with some stronger language for that right there. That was not a dust up.
I agree. I hammered Jack for saying that because I was right there. I was right next to him. You cannot say that.
Right.
Regardless of the meaning, regardless of the intention, you cannot say that. So I'm totally in agreement. Here's my question from a
– no way, no kind of way you can soften that. You can make it right. An attack on us, there's no way. There's just no way. And Jack should have stayed away from that. He should have stayed away from that altogether. And that was a poor decision on his part. And I don't know what his aim was, what his direction was, but, boy, he should have stayed away from that altogether.
I agree. Pete mentioned, of course, you're a great player at the University of Miami. You were a Hall of Famer. You played for one of the most controversial organizations in all of sports, so on and so forth. We know the game has changed. Do you think players nowadays have that same, if you will, respect, separation, if you will, for their coordinators and their head coaches as maybe they once had to, maybe as they did during your career? Or do you think if a guy is a little bit of a loose cannon, a little bit of a different person, feels differently, thinks differently, operates differently than most of the players in the locker room, they're like, ah, guy's an old man. Who cares what he says? He's Looney Tunes. He's out to lunch. Do you think they have the same respect, reverence for, I guess, their leaders, their bosses, essentially, or is it a different game nowadays and a different society inside an NFL locker room?
so many different variables in the question that you gave me, because certainly you cannot. There's no doubt everybody in the locker room have the utmost respect for Bill Belichick. He's an old dude, but boy, he has a whole lot of old rings in the cupboard. You see what I'm saying? So whatever that old dude said, I want to hear, because that old dude knows how to go get me some of them rings, since he has so many of them. It's what have you done? It's not just how old are you. What have you done? Then I can listen to you. In your youth, what have you done? Some of these young guys that are getting head coaching jobs, the Mike McDaniels that come over from 49ers and all of that, and then you get some of Tyreek Hill over in Miami, and now everybody's saying, oh, man, you're going to use Debo like they use Tyreek, over there. So he gets the credibility because they can see that fit. You see what I mean? Oh, I see why we got – okay, yeah. Okay, they got Tyreek. They want to be using Tyreek like you use Debo. Okay, this is a fit. Let's see if we can make this work. So he'll get credibility. Now, he has to start winning early. He has to start winning early. Or that ear, they may, you know, drop an ear on him and stop listening as much, because he has to prove himself. So he'll get a door to open because he's coming in off the success they've had in San Francisco, but he better show up early and win games early. So it kind of varies, you know what I mean? These dudes now, dog, let me tell you what you mean, what you're really saying to me, because this is how I sum it up. The days of coaches having total dominion over all players are gone. These are the days where coaches, the coaches, you have to have what we call partnership with players now. Because once you give them $50, $60 million guaranteed, coach, you can't cut this player. Your job is to try to get the best out of him, because we owe him a lot of money. You can't cut him. You see, so now it's not dominion over him. It's about partnership with him. How can you get the best up out of him? That's where the game is changing.
Michael, here in D.C., clearly a player that has shown us it is still trying to recapture it. In Carson Wentz, we've seen, when healthy, glimpses of the player that we once saw, help lead the Eagles to a great season, where Nick Foles finished off the Super Bowl for them. But for a guy that has left a system of comfort for him, Doug Peterson to Frank Reich, now this is a whole completely new ball of wax here in D.C. What do we expect from a guy that certainly still showed us he's got physical tools, Michael, but for whatever reason, some of those other intangibles have just kind of eluded him here in his last couple of seasons?
I was out of town, I think, out of country or somewhere. I heard that Carson Wentz was going to Washington, and I dropped on one of my knees and raised my hands towards the heavenly skies and thanked the football gods. I said, thank you, football gods. Because the reality is now, buddy, you know what's going on. We're going to get all that happened. Whatever happened in Philadelphia, we're going to get it all. Because those 2 weeks when the Philly and Washington played, that's what everybody's going to do. They're going to have to dig into the mold scabs and find out, well, why are you playing against this team? That's why I love that he went to Washington. We're going to dig in them scabs twice a year. It's going to be great stuff. Twice a year we're digging in those scabs. But what also you said, I think, it's probably his last and best shot. Probably his last and best shot. My bishop and I, we always talk about certain things, and we look at things. And I even on my podcast, I like to hear. I always say, I measure men in distance travel. Don't tell me where you are. Tell me where you started, and let me see where you are, and I shall measure you accordingly. I want to see the distance you have traveled before I give you the credit that you deserve. And a lot of times when you started extrapolating and going over people's great men journey, you will see that a lot of times they have turned their greatest pain into their greatest promise. Somebody talked about me as a little boy. They talk, I was the worst athlete. I was the slowest kid in the neighborhood, and it used to hurt so much to hit the girls. This is a true story about me. They used to make me run against the girls, and the girls would always beat me. I used to get up every day before school and go running. I said, I'm going to run every day. The more I run, I'm going to get better. I was running out of my pain, ran all the way to the Hall of Fame. I ran. My greatest pain led me to my greatest promise. You know what I mean? I used to run late at night. by the graveyard. And I said, a ghost is chasing me. It was just the pain. It was just the pain of being the slow dude in the neighborhood. Those ghosts were chasing me. You see what I mean? But this for Carson Wentz may be that. This may be that. You told he had comfort in all those other places. Now it's time for you to go eat what you kill, dude. Ain't nobody got your comfort. Ain't nobody got you giving you the upper hand. You got to come in here and earn this. You got to earn the respect of these guys. You got to eat what you kill. And that's and I hate to use that terminology, that right there, that analogy with all what we're going through with the shootings. But you know what I mean. And so I apologize about that, because I don't know if somebody was a part of that, and I don't want them to go through that again. But you know what I'm saying? Now he doesn't have that friendship. He has to raise up and play hard and play like everybody else. Like, skin is on the game. Skin is in the game here, and I got to show. And I'm anxious to see what happens when he plays without that tether attached to him.
All right, check out the Michael Irvin podcast. He is our Odyssey NFL insider with us on the Team 980. Follow him on Twitter, at Michael Irvin 88, the Pro Football Hall of Famer. Nice enough to join us for a few minutes. Michael, you, of course, are mostly associated, of course, with the Dallas Cowboys. You know, Pete and I talk about the division all the time, not just the Commanders. You know, and I think a lot of people are kind of throwing up in the air and saying, no, let's see what pasta sticks to the wall. Is it going to be the pasta in Philadelphia, or is it going to be the pasta in Detroit, in Dallas? So from your perspective, which of those two organizations right now is more poised to win the NFC East, the Dallas Cowboys or the Philadelphia Eagles in your eyes?
This game plays so much and plays so much on the quarterback position. So, you know, when I say the Cowboys, you'll think I'm going homer. But because of that, I say the Cowboys. But let me say this, and I've said this, Cowboys Nation, boy, they better be bracing. Because if the right hands, the head coach, the right situation, GM, the right hands get on the steering wheel in Philadelphia, and you have the right hands under center in Philadelphia, Cowboys Nation, Washington, you know, we may hear the worst words we want to hear, which will be two words we want to hear, which will be a Philadelphia dynasty, because they have it in place right now. Let me tell you why I say that. They have something in place that they can do some real dirt with and cause some real confusion. I talked about becoming a family earlier and connectivity. That's what brings you together as a family. So Philly has that. Philly has a great diversity and wide receiver with Devontae Smith, the speed guy that can beat any set, outrun the zone sets to break down your zone. And then they got a man beater in Arthur Juan Brown, A.J. Brown. So that diversity makes them great in a passing game. And then you turn around, and you got this kind of run game that they were number one in the league rushing the ball last year. And it's not just a conventional run game with the quarterback being involved that can make it very difficult to stop. They did a great job drafting. They got Jordan Davis to go along with Fletcher Cox. Jordan Davis is a bad boy. And then they got N'Kobe Dean, who I love at the linebacker spot. I love N'Kobe Dean. I mean, he's a little small, got hurt a little bit, but boy, he knew how to dissect plays and attack plays and come downhill. And then they still got two first-round draft picks coming down the pipe next year. And all of these guys, if they get together and start believing, nobody thought we could do it. Devontae Smith, everybody thought I was too small. A.J. Brown, everybody thought I was too big and too stiff. Jalen Hurts, everybody thought I wasn't accurate enough. You see what I mean? And then they connect under that. Nobody believed in us. Hell, that's how Philly won their last Super Bowl. Remember, the underdog, we the underdogs. They connected under that we the underdogs thing. They got a shot at doing it again. If I was in that locker room, I guarantee you the Eagles would be on the way to a dynasty.
Michael, we'll let you out on this, and we'll stay with that wide receiver theme, because you just mentioned the quality there in Philadelphia. Obviously, Terry McLaurin is a guy that's proven himself here. Can the guy wearing your number in Dallas take that next step? Because I think we all thought entering the league that C.D. Lamb had the qualities, but can he now? That limelight's going to be on him. It's his wide receiver position now. Does he have what it takes to take that next step and elevate that offense based on the fact that, you know, coming in, that's what they thought he was going to do for them.
And it's here now. You know, it's here now. And a lot of things over the last couple of years, as I watched CD, that he's certainly grown on and done a great job at. But this time is going to be different. You know, everybody went in the locker room and went in those film rooms the last couple game years, and they pushed up 19. That was the first guy on the board they had to stop. That was Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper's gone now. So the defensive focus in the passing game comes to number 88. And it's a different thing. It's a different thing when the focus is on you. I've seen many of guys, played with many of guys, that were number two guys and could have had a long career, but they got an opportunity to go out and be number one guy, and then they did not succeed. I don't think that will be CeeDee Lamb. I do think he will succeed. I do think also he's going to be a little bit surprised with how hard it is to be the difference between playing with Amari and playing without Amari, especially early on, since Michael Gallup is not going to be healthy, and they're going to have to put in the young guy Jalen Tolbert that they just drafted, or James Washington, who came over from Washington, who came over from Pittsburgh, I mean.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Actually, Michael, one last quick one, if we can squeeze it as quickly as you can. How much would you pay Terry McLaurin if you were the Commanders? Would you go $28 million? Let's just use that as a number with the way the wide receiver market has exploded.
Yeah, you have to. Let me tell you now, you have to. And if you can get him for 28, yes, you get him for 28. And here's the issue with this whole offseason, because they're trying to determine right now if it's worth it. Devontae Adams and Eric and Hill, they have to have big years, because they can't come around and let Kansas City and Green Bay have a great year and Devontae Adams and Tariq Hill doesn't, because then every other team will say, see, I told you, receivers aren't worth $30 million. You see what I'm saying? So they have to. The pressure is on them. Terry McLaurin, yes, he's right up under that next that top tier of guys. And the reality is, you got to pay him to keep him. That's a bad dude, though. Don't lose Scary Terry. That's a bad dude. He's worth his money. You just got to come on up and pay him. And this guy is going to jump next year, a huge jump again also. So trust me, get him now, because next year, you're talking about waiting. The longer you wait, the more it's going to cost.
Michael, always a great conversation. Appreciate your time as always today. Thank you, sir.
Thanks for chatting, guys. I appreciate it, guys.
Thank
always.
You, Michael. You appreciate got it. You very much.
Odyssey NFL insider Michael Irvin, our insider calls presented by BetQL. BetQL is here to help us all make better bets through real proven analytics. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.